Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Crime at the Family Table, season 5. I'm joined today by my, I'm gonna start looking up synonyms. I just want to keep saying illustrious, glorious, queen. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I'm gonna start making up words. Splendiferous, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Co-host Latanya. We're excited to be back for another week of our terms season. And we thank you for coming back and giving us a listen. We said this year or this go round we were going to be more consistent. We were going to amp up the quality of these episodes, and that's what the girls are getting. So we thank you for sticking around. But without further ado, Latanya, how are you doing this week?
I am doing pretty well, honestly. It has been the week just started, and I am already feeling
Oh,
like,
I know
okay,
this
let's
word.
get through the week because I got Friday off.
It is Good
Listen, come on,
Friday.
Friday. Yes, it is Easter week and it's coming up. And also to all of our Muslim listeners, happy Ramadan. I hope you guys. Y'all are at like the halfway point. I think they're on day like 15 now. So keep
Oh,
going, keep fighting that
you
good
got
fight because I know fasting
it.
is difficult. My coworkers actually just came up off of fast too. That's crazy. Like they did like the 21-day fast at their
Oh,
church.
for Lent, yeah. I'm
They did
participating in
the
that. I'm
Daniel
just kidding,
fast.
Daniel Fest. I'm not there yet in my walk with Christ. But I definitely have participated in Lent. For Lent, I gave up watching YouTube and Instagram. So I have not been on Instagram for almost 40 days. It's for 40 days. Just to focus on your relationship with God, do some self-reflection, things like that. If you are Christian by your faith. But yeah, everybody's fasting in this season. I wonder like the correlation.
I think a lot because, and I know especially in Philadelphia, so much has been happening. And I think that people have just needed, even if people are not necessarily Christian, like people have just simply been like, I know people that are like just following like Ramadan even, like, and are not Muslim because they're just saying, like, I just need a reset. Like, so much has been happening. Like, I need to step away. And if I'm doing this and really basically I have other people who are like my Muslim brothers and sisters who are, doing that with me, I feel like I'm at the same speed with them and like I can walk that pace. And it also makes me accountable to that. And I have a countdown I can go on and walk with people. And even during like the Daniel fast and like, Lent and stuff like that, people like I guess are using this time to kind of have joint solidarity and reset. Especially, we're going 3 months into the new year, almost 4 months into the new year, and people are feeling like really heavy in this year. So I definitely am, it's very interesting to say. Like, I'm not a Christian by faith, like, I don't follow any religious practice, but I do understand like the need to have these times, like, and when you're with your, your crew of people of your church or your faith, that you're doing something to like kind of get back
I've
centered
been feeling like a
with that, like,
shift,
so
and
important.
I think it has to do with spring. Like I was asking a coworker, like, is there something like spiritual or something that happens this time of the year where you just feel like you need a reset or a refresh? And I feel like spring is coming. A lot of people are doing spring cleaning, and spring cleaning in the sense of like, yeah, your house, but also I feel like everybody's trying to get their stuff in order, whether it be your physical, mental, spiritual. It's just time to be out with the old and with the new. So I hope that everybody, no matter what your faith background, your religious background, if you don't have one, if you don't believe in anything, I just hope that you take the time to ground yourself in whatever works for you.
And definitely, if you're feeling like because of the shift like that you're feeling that you need somebody to talk to, definitely, go and find that support for yourself. And, definitely ask the questions that you need, like, and get guidance on where you want to see yourself this year. Like, the year of 2024, at the end of the day, a lot of us are still dealing with, like, the effects of being locked in for COVID. Like, it's, you know, it's constantly, you know, different things going on. We're seeing all this crazy stuff in the news. So please take care of yourselves and do what feels right for you.
For this episode, you know, we encourage mental health, mental wellness here. We're strong advocates for that. But is there anything that you want to, do we have a disclaimer? Anything you want to share? Trigger warning.
Yes. Trigger warning, definite disclaimer. So my topic for this week is stalking. And if anyone has ever experienced this, I know I have in like such a small like form when I was younger and one experience. It is very triggering. It is, you know, you feel consistently vulnerable and you feel like you're constantly in fight or flight because you just really don't know what can happen. And it's very scary. So I really encourage you guys, like, if you are experiencing it right now, and this is too much for you, or you experienced this in the past and this is just too much for you, please take time to, you know, center yourself and put yourself first in this moment and step away. Do not listen to this episode if it's going to be more harmful than you than informative. I really do not, you know, want to push you guys to listen to this episode because of the subject matter. Another thing is this also does deal with subject of murder. Our case does deal with a murder as a result of stalking. So please, again, if this is not something you want to listen to, please always step back. All right. And that is my disclaimer and my trigger warning. Yeah. And without further ado, we are going to move into our case for today. So our case topic today is pretty much, you know, stalking, intimate partner violence, dealing with, you know, the tragic loss of one Alyssa Ann Burkett.
Oh, wow. We have the same name. Oh, that is
yes,
frightening. And also an honor.
You know, like, I mean, I could not find, like, too much on Alyssa's background. But her grandfather and, you know, she just was such a good, like, woman, mother. She just loved the people around her. And through her story, I've gathered also she's one of the strongest people. Her strength is beyond. And you'll kind of get the understanding for that as we go along. I do not want to mince words. I will not shield from what is going on in this case. So our murderer today and the person that assisted him in this murder are Andrew Charles Beard. And Alyssa is 24 years old at the time of this case, which occurred October 2nd, 2020. So we're like... First year into the pandemic.
We have the same name, and this is like a week before my birthday. My 30th birthday.
Wow. Crazy work. Like, when I was reading, I was like, wait, hold up. This is a little quinky dinky.
But I'm also very excited to hear about this.
And Alyssa has a 1-year-old daughter at this time, and she loves her daughter. Like, it's a picture of Alyssa and her daughter is just smiling, so big and angelic, and Alyssa is just happy and she's smiling, like, you know, she is just loving it. And that you could just tell, like, from the person she is, that she loves her daughter. Like, she just loves her daughter above all else. Sadly, the father of this child is our murderer, Andrew Charles Beard. She is dealing with custody issues with during this time. So I'm going to give you, like, the honest truth. Of course, we are dealing with someone who's stalking her. So Andrew is utilizing the internet and GPS tracking in order to stalk Alyssa. A major incident that actually happened a month before the murder was that Andrew, called in a little tip under the name Frank Marrow, like, and stated that Alyssa was selling drugs in her car and that she had a gun in her car, and to, like, check the tire for the gun. Right? Now, why would
that specific Andrew
know that type of information? That specific. Why would Mr. Frank Marrow just happen to know this information? As, of course, we know it's Andrew, but how would they know? Well, he put it there. Okay? Like, it's just, you know, I can't, I'm not even going to, like, I can't even leave mystery, because there is no mystery with Andrew. Andrew is really a nut job. This isn't all, though. During the summertime of the same year in 2020, another tip by a woman is placed onto Alyssa, saying that she is driving erratically and violently on the road.
I see where this is going. Go ahead.
Yeah. When for the September incident, though, the police do come, like, because they're just like, okay, they don't know about the situation, about, like, any of the stalking that is going on. And I don't really think even, like, Alyssa kind of, she has this fear, like, this stuff is going on, but I don't believe, like, she has made any, like, reports about what was happening. It was more her family, co-workers, and those close to her that knew the severity of what was going on. So, but the police, at the end of the day, they still have to come out. And lo and behold, there's freaking drugs and a gun in her tire.
He's thorough.
And they were exactly everywhere they said. Of course, Alyssa is like, scared to death, because, like, you know, the amount of drugs and this gun, mind you, with a filed off serial number, is like drug cartel level. Like real, they are trying to make it seem like she's like a drug dealer. Like, so it's not the amount of drugs, but it's not like a heavy amount of drugs. They never specify how much drugs it was, but with like a gun with a filed off serial number and drugs being in the car, wow, like, they were alluding to the fact that she's a drug dealer. Yes. And I'm sure that, you know, this whole situation is scary, because now the law is involved. There's been now two situations in which, like, the law is being attempted to be involved in Alyssa's life for, like, no reason. Like, she's not doing anything. Someone asked, why would Andrew do this? Like, why? What is Andrew's motive? Well, bitter baby daddy. Oh, you nailed it right on the head. Andrew was pretty much, as Alyssa's mom and coworker would say, he was obsessed with them. He was obsessed with them, and he was just not willing to let go. And there is no information on if Alyssa had, like, moved on with anyone else or, like, was seeing anybody else. It was, like, nothing like that. It was just, if I can't have you, I'm going to make sure. And if I can't get my daughter and have my daughter, and I don't even really think he necessarily daughter, he just didn't want Alyssa to have her and wanted to hurt her.
Who is this woman? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Girl, you was like, on, you're leading me right into girl? It.
Why was she willing to risk it all for this man? I need to see how he looks. I'm scared.
Listen, mind you, Andrew, so Alyssa is 24 years old.
Knew it.
Andrew, knew at it. This time, is 36. I knew
it. I'm like, he's older than her. Because it's feeling fishy. He's older than her, because only an older man in these situations with custody stuff would think that he was better, like, that the court would deem him better able to take care of the child than her. Wow. So many things. Go ahead. I'm getting into it.
And you wouldn't believe who was helping him. His fiance.
Does it say how long they were Alyssa and him were separated after the baby?
So it seems like it's been within the year. It's been within the year of, like, this child's birth. Like, it's no, like, that's, like, what the problem is with this case. Like, anytime I try to look up her specifically, it wasn't giving me too many details on her background. It just kind of saying, like, in connection with the stalking, like, it starts, and that's why sometimes I hate the media, because they kind of start a person's life from the the time that their life was lost. When there's a whole history that's like going on here, and it's it's really tragic.
That is false because
Oh, no. I don't want you to look too more closely into it because there's some more spice because Andrew, it just keeps getting better. Like, it gets better and better and better because Andrew is just a disgusting, deplorable human being. And Holly...
I was going to say, Holly, I'm giving her names just already.
We'll get it.
They're not nice.
Holly helped Andrew by putting the GPS tracker on Alyssa's car. Underside Alyssa Carter. Oh, yeah, because she's a ride or die. Like, she's going to ride for her man. And my man. She rolling. Like, that's just what it's giving. It was just me. But the whole time I'm reading this, I'm just like, if you got a man that's doing all this to a woman, what do you think is going to happen to you?
Why are you so focused on another woman? I'm your woman. You shouldn't have any energy to focus on another woman but me.
Right. And I don't know what he probably was telling her. Because, you know, like, it was another case I remember. It was the side piece was helping the guy plan a murder of his fiance. And he literally told her that, oh, yeah, she's abusing our daughter. And I want to break up with her. But instead of just breaking up with this girl and filing for custody. Because you claim your child's being abused, y'all decide y'all gonna plan.
Said.
Yeah. And it's. Yes, and what they end up doing is like logic falls out the window. Like, logic, who is she? Because I don't care how bad the courts are, like, murder.
Period.
You're going to prison. Because you're still the murderer. You're still a murderer. I don't get it. But I guess, you know, Holly and that other chick, they share the same brain cell. Because they stupid.
Allow themselves to be in that situation. So, Holly, how dare you?
And not just a GPS. Let's get into more. She also was the woman who called the phone to say that Alyssa was driving violently on the road. Because of course she was. Then on top of that, Mr. Frank Mero, Andrew from the beginning, how he knew Alyssa's license plate was because Holly had took a picture of the license plate to give to police to make sure he got it right when he was making the report as a concerned citizen.
And if she really was a real drug dealer and she really did have drugs and a gun in the wheel of her car, she would be smart enough not to let anybody see it. Like, she would do it under the cover of night or, like, pull into a garage or pull into a place where you can't be seen. She would just be like, hey, guys, I've got this gun and this drug. I'm going to stick it in the wheel. Like, how would you know? Are you involved? We need to be detectives.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and I think that that's why the police were just like, they probably, like, were more leaning to the side of Alyssa because they're just like, this doesn't even sound right. Like, how are you getting everything right? Like, instead of saying, like, oh, yeah, there's drugs, and I think there's drugs and something in the car, like, you should check the car, you're being very detailed. Oh, yeah. And people who are very detailed have something to hide.
How you know it's in the left wheel on the passenger side in the back? Like, it's very specific.
That's very specific. Like, come on. Okay. And then we have to, of course, get into more. So, not only in September do they decide to call the cops, in September, Holly helps him buy a van, a disguise of a beard and face paint, 0.110 shotgun shells, and a knife, all of which were used on October 2nd, 2020. Now, Alyssa, with all of the image with the images I've painted, what would you think, like, you know, Andrew was dressed up as? I'm gonna give you some options. I'm gonna give you A, B, C, okay? All right. He was dressed up as A salesman, B a clown, or C a black man. I'm going to give you a countdown. Three.
A black man.
Two. One. Ah, you got it, girl. Face. Ding, ding, ding. You are the winner. Yes. Yes, what he put on blackface with a beard. Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Carlton, Texas.
That's just, okay. I see, okay.
I think it's either Carlton
I think it is Carlton. Carrollton. I think I've heard
Carrollton, Texas.
There was another crime that happened there.
That area does sound familiar. Like a really well-known
one. We'll figure it out. Not a blackface bandit. Okay.
We're going to figure that out later, folks. So, because not only are you a sick stalker, you're also a racist. Coming. It just...
You know, when they try to frame her as a drug dealer, I'm like, there's racism in here. So, it's just creeping up.
And of course, like, they have to, like, and it's just like, are you framing her as a drug dealer because you're in Texas? Are you trying to say the drug cartels impute, like, what the thought process was? Yeah, so they was just like, okay, we're going to do it all. We're going to be racist whole gamut. Like, we're just going to do it all.
Are they buying these things all at once? Because it looks like you're planning a murder or a kidnapping.
So they buy it literally within a week of each other. So, like, first week, like, so, mind you, the first week in September, they make the call about the drugs. Week two, they're buying the van in disguise. Gotcha. Week three, they're buying the gun with the knife. Like, I don't think we had to play the game of Clue to figure out what was Mr. Mustard in the kitchen with the pipe. Like,
it's giving Nancy Drew. Go ahead.
It's giving, like, sir, you're leaving the breadcrumb. You're not good at this. This is not, you're not a criminal. Sorry. You're not a good one at that. Yeah. Like, and so, and I'm sure Alyssa is like, at this point, October 2nd, is probably thinking like, oh my goodness, like, I've just had this crazy time. I'm dealing with this freaking guy. And I'm also trying, like, so the crazy part is, like, I don't necessarily know if Alyssa and Andrew were ever really together.
This baby is like a year old. And at that age, that's too yes. fast. At his age.
Right. And mind you, Holly is 32. Like, well, no, she's 32 when she gets...
Maybe that's how he kind of manipulated Holly, because she already has some animosity towards Alyssa.
Right, right. Like, that's what it's giving, because I'm just like, what is exactly happening here? Because, and then it also, like, the other part of it is, like, telling Holly, like, we can just have a family. Like, I'll get married to you. We'll take the baby. You're going to be a great mother. You've uh-huh. always wanted to be a mother. See? We've never Hire gotten us. Around to that.
Detective agents, we will solve the crimes.
So Alyssa is making her way to work. She is sitting in her car in the parking lot in Carrollton, Texas. And she literally is ambushed. A man drives up, gets out the car, shoots into the car window with a shotgun. Alyssa, with all her strength and just determination, tries to get out of the car.
Oh, no.
She's hit in the head, mind you. Tries to get out of the car and stagger. But before she's able to even get far, the assailant grabs her and begins to stab her 13.
Shooting her wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And the thing about it is, shooting somebody like that, ambushing them in a car, that feels like a hit job. But the 13 times stabbing someone, that's the passion. That's the hate. That's the level of... Sadly, Alyssa did lose her life that day. She was pronounced dead at the scene. And police literally got right away to figuring out what was happening, what happened to Alyssa. So they start talking to her family, and that is where they get the information from her mom and coworker that she has been having issues with Andrew, and that they really should look into him. They end up, police, 3 hours after the incident, they end up rolling up to Andrew's house. Andrew is on his way out in a white pickup truck on his way away from his home, and police stop him and were just like, hey, we have, you know, a little piece of paper here that says we're allowed to search this vehicle and your home because your name, like, this also has to be understood that, like, the people involved in the investigation of this crime are, like, the ATF, which is alcohol, tobacco, or firearm and explosions agency.
Because I'm FBI, like that, they got that warrant real fast.
Real fast, because I'm going to say that it was more likely that what rung a bell was the previous incident that happened the month prior. So his name is being mentioned in calling the cops and potentially planting drugs and a weapon. And now going like this horrific murder of that same woman.
Like, bro. Yeah. I'm glad.
He created
a threat. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'm not skipping all the way to the end. I didn't even know the end.
Was it worth it? It's crazy. No parents. So one of the things, the first things that they take from Andrew is his cell phone. So he has 3 cell phones, one of which, of course, is a burner phone. So evidence number one, you have a burner phone. Why do you need a burner phone, sir? We can chalk the other 2 phones up to a work phone and a personal phone, but why do you need a burner phone? And smoking gun, I'm going to call this smoking gun number one, okay? On one of the phones, he has in the search history best ways to remove gunpowder residue from hands.
You could have went to the public library. How not to
get away with murder for dummies.
I thought about it.
Don't give suggestions, but it's like, bro. Like,
is this going to be Russell?
Like, are you a child?
Sorry, girl.
What?
Sorry, you planned whatever you planned, and you about to my
ass. Do them 12 months of community service. It's okay, girl. We
on probation. Yeah. But like, it's wild.
And I just hope people don't take like we have to low key live to keep from like crying a little bit, because it's just like you're not even a smart horrible person criminal.
You get away with it, or think that you were about to get away with this when you left a literal trail of evidence pointing directly back to you. You're insane, and I'm glad that they caught you, because that's sad.
I hope he enjoyed 3 hours of freedom. Like, I really just hope he enjoyed those 3 hours of freedom. Because there was no reason for that. So, yeah. Then they went and searched the truck. And, of course, more evidence. There is hiking boots in there that were cut up and now soaking in bleach. So, we can make an assumption of where what those hiking boots were used for and where they had been that day. Then they went on to find evidence of another crime. So they find the script of the drug tip that was given by Mr. Frank Mero, because of course he couldn't just come off the dome. He had to write the script,
and you kept
word for word, bar for bar, in the car.
You could have shredded that. You could have
doesn't take much.
In the street, let it blow in the wind. Like, what? Wow.
Why? Why? You had 3 hours, mind you, 3 hours. And this is the best we could do, but, you know, we're going to continue. So, again, and there's another thing in the car, a matching battery to the GPS tracker that was in Alyssa's car, of course. And where was, okay, and that's also, I'm sure you're wondering, where's Holly in all this? Where was Holly? Holly was at home with Andrew and Alyssa's daughter, and she told police that Andrew
that baby could
was home with them this whole time
and be like, you're whole lying time. You're lying, the lies like, wait, so how did they get the baby?
You're a liar.
Was she
you're
already with Andrew?
So it probably was a shared custody agreement, and like, so the baby was with Andrew. Because without, like, there was technically no evidence to say that, like, Frank Mero character was Andrew, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure, like, they didn't even have the opportunity to investigate, because, like, it was just, like, nothing. And when we get into the subject of, like, stalking, you're kind of going to have to, like, it's kind of, like, bear with us. Because it's kind of, like, the long stretch of, like, how long things has to go on before it's considered necessarily... Before, maybe even for some people to even realize that they're being stalked. And also for that behavior to, one, be documented, and ensuring that you also are documenting with that with the police and seeing if anything could actually be done about the allegation. So it's just like they're stalking her. They've clearly been stalking her for almost a year. And she still has to share custody with these people, which means like her address, like for example, like if he just even wanted to go to the traditional route of following her, her address is linked in court documents, unless you can get it redacted. And it's just like she has no reprieve. She has to share a child with him.
I'm sure there was nothing in her brain that said this man is dangerous to me in this way. So she probably didn't even like, okay, yeah, we share a daughter, so you have to know where I live. Like, that's usually how most people operate. But that's wild.
And I'm sure if her mind ever went to, like, yes, I believe you may have called and put this stuff into my car, but do I necessarily believe that you would kill me? No. Do I believe that you have a GPS tracker in my car?
Even though we know it's possible, no. It just seems so improbable. So she probably, poor Alyssa, she probably was so blindsided. Right. Like,
what is going on here? All right. And now we got to get into the next case. Because literally this case is solved in like 2 days. Like, it takes no time at all. So the next day, mind you, like, they have to probably, you know, go through the phone, check the phone history. These things probably take a few days. But like, they literally have gathered this evidence and have a smoking gun on this guy pretty quickly. Like, it takes 2 days of police search really to find this information. And the next day, they find a black SUV, which was used because Andrew apparently not only had the van, but he had a transportation car. So like, the black SUV served as a transportation car from, like, I guess the van was used like during the commission of the crime, but then the black SUV was used to transport him from the van back home. Right. Okay. And so in the black SUV, which was in not too far from Andrew's home in a different neighborhood, in the back of the car, they found Alyssa's blood, that traces of Alyssa's blood within the car. And they also found a fake beard with brown makeup residue left around the beard. Yes. Yes. Well, because I know for a fact that when he thought this, he was just like, yeah, we're just gonna blame the black guy. But literally, you have no understanding that this girl has already told these people that she's being stalked by her ex. And your name was going to come up anyway. You were going to be the first suspect regardless of this random black guy. Because in their mind, they could have said to themselves, oh yeah, he could have just hired someone to kill Alyssa because he's stalking her. Regardless, you were involved. Like, you're not smart, Andrew. You're not smart. And of course, the beard not only contained the black makeup, it also contained Andrew's DNA.
I was gonna say, from didn't sweat think of that, did you,
and skin particles. Again, Alyssa, he worked out to get rid of all of this, but of course he didn't. So, you know, with that being said, you know, Andrew was taken into custody. And by June of 2022, Andrew, and I'm pretty sure the reason why it took this long is because of the pandemic. It probably held up like a lot of things to do with court. So, yeah. So by June of 2022, Andrew Beard pled guilty to cyberstalking, using a dangerous weapon, which resulting in death, and discharge of a firearm during a crime of violence. He received a 43-year sentence. So by the time he gets out, so I'm guessing he was around 34 at this time, and he was like 36 when he pled guilty. So by the time he would get out, he would probably be, at the youngest, he would probably be like maybe 60s. No, still early, probably early 70s. He'll be like 79 when he gets out. If he gets out, because, you know, he needs to see hell first. He really does. He needs to see hell. And we're not going to give short strife to Miss Holly, because even though she did, you know, her and Andrew, they just couldn't rock out those 43 years together. They broke up. And Holly went to Miami, Florida. I don't know why she just said, you know what, I'm going to cry and miss my husband on South Beach, and we're just going to put all of this behind us. No, no, no. And the police said, no, not too quickly, Miss Elkins, girl. So Holly in July of 2023 was indicted on involvement in conspiracy to commit stalking using a dangerous weapon resulting in a serious bodily injury or death, and brandishing a firearm. He has not yet faced trial. It looks like, you know, she might face trial by next year. I mean, I'm sure she's going to try to fight, but
girl,
I don't see Holly really making it out. She's probably guilty, and she's going to probably try to get some of those things, like, knocked off. Like, I'm sure she's going to try to, you know, skimmy away from, like, the death part, but that's not going to happen because she literally planned the murder with, you know,
you need to go to jail and rot as well. Like, because what were you doing, man? Like, you were literally an accessory.
Yeah. And it just really goes without saying that Alyssa's, like, life was just cut so short by two selfish and increasingly just, like, monstrous people. Like, they're monsters. Like, and the U.S. Made a news release and said, "This case is a sobering reminder of the brutal violence some women endure at the hands of intimate partners. The victim in this case fought valiantly to the very end. We hope today's sentence brings a measure of peace to her family."
Rest in peace, Alyssa. Never mind. I was about to say what happened to the baby, but of course she'll probably go with her grandmother.
Yeah. Likely going with, is with family. And it's, like, so, it's so sad. And, like, something that was said about Alyssa in her obituary was Alyssa was strong-willed, ambitious, fiercely determined, and driven. She had many friends, and she was a natural leader among them. Alyssa was well-loved among her friends and family. Her presence
would be deeply missed by everyone who knew and loved her. You were not just dealing with some, like, young girl who had nobody who could just come in and snatch her child from her. Like, she had family. She had people that loved her. She was probably working and had, like, a lot of things going for herself and had a future, and you knew that she was not going to give up her daughter without a fight.
Yeah, because, like, the job that she had was, like, the leasing office. So it was, like, the leasing office parking lot. So, like, she was killed literally outside of her job.
Yeah.
It's really sad. She is, you know, she left her short life, she did leave a major impact, and of course she leaves her legacy of her daughter here, and I am sure her family will, of course, you know, not let her memory die in vain. No one deserves that, but, like, hearing just the sheer, like, violence for such a sweet person who just did nothing, but, you know, got involved with the wrong guy. Literally,
be careful
just
out
the
there,
wrong
ladies.
Guy.
Like, pay attention. Look at, if you can, look at people's families. Like, you gotta damn near run a background check nowadays when you're dating somebody. Like, but you cannot be too careful. Ask the questions. Ask the random questions. Ask the questions that will have somebody looking at you like, why would you ask me that? Like, be aware, be alert. Make sure somebody knows where you are, where you're going, who you're with, like, but of course, in this circumstance, like, I'm sure, like I said, she was blindsided. I'm sure she had no clue what type of guy he would eventually become. She probably had no clue about Holly at first, I'm sure.
Yeah, like, it just seems like she got in over her head, like, it's, and that's how isolating situations like that can be, is, like, it, because you feel like, what did I do to deserve this? Like, what did I bring this onto myself? Like, what have I done? And it's just like, and people, like, a lot of people can say, like, oh, and I'm sure these are dummies, like, that would just say this, like, oh, well, like, you know, you just gotta choose better, ladies. And it's just like, no, people like this, it does not start with, like, regular stuff. Like, and also, on top of that, a lot of stalking behavior actually starts before like you even break up with the person. So like they start doing little stalking behaviors, setting the groundwork because they can probably feel like the end is coming. Or like this behavior mm-hmm. is just something they sneak in gradually, breadcrumbing their way in. And then once you leave the relationship, they are full blown crazy. Because like what? And the fact that another woman is literally helping you be stalked is crazy.
Do your own research. You can't always believe if there's like an ex, especially when it comes to a child's mother, like you're only getting the side of the story of your man or your woman. Like you have to, if you can, try and hear the whole story. Or and just use your better judgment, not your best judgment. Use your better judgment because people are manipulative. He is a narcissist. Like you cannot be too careful. And if you find yourself in a situation like that, run. Just run and get out and leave. There's a better way. Right. Don't be a murderer.
Yes. Because the minute that you are now planning the murder with this guy, you're in too deep. And at any time, Holly could have made the executive decision to call the police. Like, when they were planning the GPS, when they were doing these behaviors, there were so many times where she could have been the help for Alyssa. But she decided to be the nail in her coffin. And that is
horrible. Especially woman to woman. You know how difficult it is. That's horrific. For us as women, so, especially, and for you to contribute to that. You, I really hope that you get the justice.
Yeah. And I really can't wait to like follow up on this case and find that this woman has been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and that she receives all of her comeuppance that are coming to her, because that you are horrible. And I'm sure in a few years she'll be on some court TV thing when they're talking about women who let love lead them to prison, and she's gonna be like, yeah, I just believe this guy and blah 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 blah. No, mm-hmm. You are an active participant in the annihilation of a woman, and you deserve jail time. Like you did, like I don't even like our prison systems, but people like you, Holly, make me be like, no, you need to go under the prison. You are put it down. Like I can't. So, all right, I gotta get in before we go into like the statistics of stalking and stalking laws and things like that. So, stalking means to engage, and this is according to the Office on Violence Against Women, U.S. Department of Justice. Stalking means to engage in a course of conduct directed at the specific person that would cause a reasonable person to fear for his or her safety, or the safety of others, or suffer substantial emotional distress. Now, the Pennsylvania laws define this further, because I like to use Pennsylvania because we live in PA, so like it's kind of like, you know, it's easy to go through that, and I feel like PA has pretty common sense, you know, northern laws. So is offense defined as engaging in a course of conduct, of course, that is repeated acts towards a person, which includes following a person without proper authority under circumstances that show intent to place the person under reasonable fear of bodily injury or cause substantial emotional distress. Then there's also communication to another person under the same circumstances as stated above. So basically it's continued contact to this person with no prior authority or like present authority to be in contact with them. The venue, when you're thinking about venue, is dealing with this can occur in jurisdictions, and that jurisdiction that, so let's say, for example, I live in Philadelphia now, right? And then I move to Chicago, and then you stalk me in Chicago, or you use the internet or some means to stalk me, but I live in Chicago now. They can use the evidence from Philadelphia to look at what has happened as a history of, like, the offense. Like, it doesn't start and restart. It's consistent, that consistent conduct, because you have to keep adding that up. So, and it shows the pattern of behavior and how it is graded. So, the first offense shall be constituted as a misdemeanor of the first degree. And that pretty much is a punishment of up to 5 years with a $10,000 fine. And then if the person commits it again, the same person, like under the same offense, is now a felony of the third degree. And it is 7 years and 15K fine. So not really many years involved in stalking. So it really, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of places do not have that many, you know, things going. So I'm pretty sure, like, with, for example, with Holly, because it's crazy because they took over, they didn't have the stalking charges on Andrew. They only put them on Holly, which is fine. Very interesting. Correct. They were both stalking her. But I'm guessing because, like, Andrew probably worked, because remember, he pled guilty. So I'm pretty sure what he did was work it out where stalking charges wouldn't be added onto his charges. Because it looks like Holly may be facing, like, so they can stack charges. Like, so people, you know, realize they can just be like, okay, the firearm is one thing, the stalking is another thing.
Okay, yeah.
Stalking that resulted in death is another sentence, which, you know, the Pennsylvania statute doesn't have. Like, we don't have that statute, it doesn't look like stalking that leads to murder, like, and what that could mean. So I'm pretty sure it's just probably, oh, well, if it's stalking, that leads to murder.
As you
not
should.
Only get the stalking, but then you get the murder charge. So, as you should. So that really just showed you how kind of light these kind of sentences are. There is a show that is on Netflix right now about people like that are stalkers, and they're being interviewed in prison. They're serving sentences for stalking, and there's been so many different stories that I've seen people give their opinion on some of the parties, but like that show is just so weird and eerie. So I have, if you guys want us to like watch it, we will do that one day in the future, just, you know, because it's a little eerie. I couldn't do it today. So in terms of examples of stalking, so repeated contact following, making a person fear for their safety, appearing at a person's private residence, making lewd and threatening interactions. Categories of stalking. So these are, you know, the categories in which people can fall in of stalking behavior. I feel like I knew about this from Criminal Minds, but I didn't really realize like this was like true category. So there are 1, 2, 3. So it's 4 different categories. So there's simple, obsessional stalking, which is the most common and is usually a male perpetrator. The victim is usually an ex-partner or even an ex-boss, but this is generally with former intimate partners, and the behavior will start prior to the breakup. The stalker will feel mistreated by the victim in some way. So we can kind of conclude that Andrew falls into this category. In some way, he is feeling mistreated and is most likely due to feeling like he is not getting access to his child. Like, he wants his child. Like, he feels like he earned his child. So we can see him falling into that. So then we have the love obsessional stalker. And this stalker is a stranger or casual acquaintance to the victim. And the behaviors of this stalker is all a means of making the victim notice them. So this is often seen in people that are obsessed with celebrities and public figures. Yeah, like that. We saw that with like the one case with a girl from the singer from The Voice that was killed at her show. Like, we see this with John Lennon, who was also killed by, you know, his stalker. Then we have the erotomania stalker. Now, this stalker is, I think it's kleptomania stalker. So this stalker thinks and somehow that the victim is in love with them. And there is an external barrier that's interfering with this, with them. So this love idea can cause them to be a danger, not necessarily to the victim, but to someone around them. So this can also be someone who is like, for example, in love with a celebrity. So we can see this in like they think, well, it's the manager that's keeping you away from me, or like this could be an intimate partner. Like, it is your mom keeping me away from you. It's your, you know, your friend, and they'll get rid of that person in order to create, like, because if they weren't here, then I could have you. Or they can see you like this person, it doesn't seem like is a, they don't know you. So they can maybe see that you have someone that you're in a relationship with and hurt them. So a lot of their aggression and hatred is centered at the barrier and not necessarily the victim. But I feel like this type of person can definitely, if they get rid of the barrier or in some way hurt the barrier, and that person still doesn't notice them, feel like this could definitely spark to like the next level. Yes, definitely. And now the rarest type is a false victimization syndrome stalker. So this person plays the role of victim. So the way that they are a stalker, right? And they're, so let's say I'm stalking you, Alyssa, and I am doing things to you and I am like ruining your life. If I get caught by the police, or the police are investigating something, I will pretend like you are stalking me. Like you have done, and so they would do everything to make it seem like they're the person that has the problem and not you. Like I have completely ruined your life. I've isolated you. I've thrown your life into shreds. But now I'm the victim. It's a completely tragic idea. Like, but that's really rare. It's like very uncommon. I don't even think I've ever even seen that. Like, I don't even have an example from like a crime show that I've watched. Like, example
of reality.
Yeah, and like I feel like this type of person, of course, has attention seeking personality and probably like some personality disorder, and potentially like of course narcissism. Like, so okay, so a part of the relationships is some are, you know, they have a relationship with them. They're an intimate partner or a non-intimate partner. Of course, you know, the intimate partner is, of course, you know, somebody you formerly had a relationship with, you know, pretty well and things like that. And a non-intimate partner, of course, is somebody that's pretty much a stranger to you. Now we have the other categories that fall into the non-intimate stalking category: organized and delusional. Organized is someone the stalker is in a one-way relationship or one-way communication. So they are sending letters, making phone calls, you know, constantly riddling this person with like communication. And this stalker is going to do everything to ensure that like the victim really doesn't know like who they are. Delusional stalker has a purely psychological fixation on the victim. The stalker believes he or she is in a relationship or has a connection with the victim. Yes. Like some way, somehow, like we're star-crossed lovers. Like this can even be seen, like, of course, again, with celebrity ones, they'll find ways to like make connections. They'll be like, yes, like, I don't know when Rihanna's birthday. I know she's a Pisces. So, like, Rihanna's a Pisces, and I was born 6 months after the Pisces season in this year, and that connects with Rihanna. Like, it's just, they find these little things that mean nothing, that are inconsequential, and make it that they are just destined to be this person. Completely delusional. Psychological fix is purely like it's just not. There was actually a girl, she was on TikTok, and like I just love kind of hearing like these people's stories, because like you kind of get this sense, like this woman, she literally has like schizophrenia, like she suffers from schizophrenia, and part of like her paranoid delusion was that this specific celebrity, who she will not name because she was obsessed with them, she started believing that this person was giving her signals through the music, and it's just completely, and she's like now that I'm on my medication, like I'm better, like I just don't, like, and she's like, I don't even want to mention who it was, like she gives you no details to let you know who this person was, like, she doesn't even want people in the comments like kind of connect the dots. Because it could trigger her, so she feels really bad, because I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, the guy, again, like, doesn't know, but literally, like, it was destroying her life. Like, this paranoia was destroying her. I think that that's the one that falls under the false victimization theory, like, version, because she believes that she's the victim. Like, so she's being targeted by the celebrity. That he's targeting her, but, like, it was wild. So, okay. And to get into more of the statistics of stalking, of course, the U.S. Justice Department, Bureau of Justice Statistics. I used to love using them when I was in when I was studying criminology, because you can find all the statistics. This is part of the FBI. You can find just statistics that have been captured. This is from 2019, stalking victimization. Some of the highlights are: primary victims of stalking are, of course, identify as female, with 3.4 million age 16 or older. There has been a slight decline in victimization from 2016 to 2019 of 0.2, and they're like from the data that they've collected. It's really sad. It's just, okay. 29% of those victims reported their victimization to police. Females, of course, were twice as likely to be stalked. 67% were stalked using traditional methods and technology. And of those, they were. I'm so sorry. 67% of those stalked using traditional and technology were as a means of stalking. So I'm going to guess social media, the different areas of technology, how you can use that. They were in fear of being killed or harmed. So majority of these victims are in fear for their lives. 67% of all victims were stalked by someone they knew. Victims of both forms of stalking were more than twice as likely to have applied for a restraining order or no contact order. 16 were stalked victims sought victim services. 74% of those 16% of them received actual supports. So 3/4 of them. 2.4 million were males that have been stalked. So all in all, like, the number of people that have been stalked in the United States
were 5.8
million people. Yes, a lot. And it's only and that means that we've gotten pretty close to that same number in 2016. That means we should be seeing probably an update. We should have got an update probably in 2022, but I did not see that data set. So, sorry, guys. This is the earliest data set. You know, I try to keep within 10 years. You know, APA model. All right. 3.4 It was only 3.4 million of people were stalked. 3.4 million. Okay. So sorry. 3.4 million were stalked. 2.4 million of them were female. 989,000 were males. Race most common was white at 2.1 million. 340,000 plus were black. Yes. Yeah. Crazy. I think I put 300K were Hispanic, Asian, Pacific Islanders, one Asian and Alaskan and American Native were 48,000. Of mixed race, 145,000. Yes. Age most represented were between the ages of 24 and 35. And also 35 to 49. Yeah, that sounds about right to me too. And most have never been married. So most common have never been married in their status. So it seems to me, and of course, like I said, that most of these people also like knew their partner, knew the people that are stalking them. It seems like these are probably most likely former partners of these individuals. And they also hold some form of, you know, past relationship, and they're escalating in their behavior. And I'm, of course, going to leave in the description box information for anyone who is dealing with stalking to contact. And please look out in your local area for like victim services. Please, you know, continue to utilize those services, because if you do not use them, you can lose them in your area, and you do not want to lose those type of services. And I do hope
that there definitely needs to be some change in the laws going forward to harassment and stalking and things like that. Those statistics were scary.
Right. Yeah, it's a scary thing. I wish I could have went more. Like, I'm going to put it in the description box so you guys can kind of like look through it even more. It is completely just disgusting. And the idea that you really have not many years a person can be tried for. And it's kind of like the same thing with domestic violence. It's just like, you get such low charges, and it's just like, for all of the suffering you deal with and the fear that you deal with, the amount of...
It's not.
I just don't feel like the measure of it is not
equal.
Like, you literally destroy a person. So, you know, again, like, if you guys have stuck around with us through this conversation, I hope that you guys keep fighting for legislation that makes sense, or common sense legislation that makes sense to clarify what like the degree that this crime can affect someone, and make it so that we can actually see justice make sense, and that way we don't get the result of Alyssa Birkin, like, because no one deserves it. And as you can see, such a small window of time,
and that really escalated
like stalking behavior to murder, like in a matter of like 4 months, she's gone. And so this lets you know that, especially when there is a vested interest in that person, meaning that someone is, you know, a former intimate partner, or, you know, it can escalate, because that's coming from also a domestic violence standpoint. Then on top of that, like, it's scary. It's just scary not knowing how this person can, one, harm you, who they will harm around you. And like, really, I don't want a person to receive justice because they just died. I want them to receive justice while they're living. I want them to see and look that man in the eye and know that the full extent of the law, he will not get out, or he will have to stay away from you. Like, in my personal opinion, I feel like the make sense law would be, if you are a stalker, you would have to, one, move, and you cannot get access to the internet. You would have to be in some type of a place of holding where you cannot get access to the internet. You are unable to get the internet. You can only utilize a regular cell phone. And You're gonna get a listen, you're gonna get a little flipper. Okay, you're gonna get a little Obama, the early edition. Obama phone. Like, you cannot just do what you want to do to somebody. You cannot destroy their lives from the inside out and take them off the face of this earth. And literally, and all of this could have been prevented if we kind of just had things that made sense. Like, if Alyssa felt like the law really would have done something to make her situation fixable, because he was literally trying to destroy her life and her reputation. She could have lost her job, now and then her child. Like, her life could have been ruined. And for what? Because he thought that he deserved his child and she didn't? It's sick. And I do hope that, you know, you guys, again, go out there, seek support that you need. Please do not keep a record of information. Keep details of information with you, like what is happening, where are the behaviors, what is the conduct. And when you feel ready to take that stuff to the police, take that information of, like, all the behaviors that person has done to you, whether man or woman, and take it to the police and get something done. File the report, file the restraining order, get things in writing, because God forbid something happens to you, you want to have something in writing. You want to have some type of legal protection on your side, even as minimal as it feels.
I mean, it's definitely a topic that needs to be covered.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of that. Thank you. So, that is all, guys. So we will be back again next week with our next term. And it's Alyssa's turn again. And we look forward to hearing from you guys about this, about our, you know, podcast about the case. So please, you know, give us a thumbs up, give us some stars, however you have to do it on the, wherever you guys are listening to this podcast at. And we look forward to talking to you guys again next week. Bye.